Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Rochester's home for live sports and the best sports talk anywhere. AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The Sports Leader. ESPN Rochester.
All right, so we talked to Nate Gary right before we took our holiday break, and we were speculating, I believe, last time that we spoke with you, Nate, about how it could shake out for the Buffalo Bills in the postseason. The ideal first-round matchup for the Buffalo Bills, and I believe we all agreed that it would be the Indianapolis Colts. Nate, do we still feel the same way? How are you, bud?
I'm well, and that's called destiny, gentlemen. And on top of that, I'm feeling fantastic. Now, don't ask me the things I was saying and thinking about when the Texans kicked that field goal. But I will say this. I was going to be confident, I think, that the Bills would win in any matchup they pulled. It was just something about watching Derrick Henry run the way that he did yesterday that really was like, if we could just not get Tennessee, that would be great. And even though I watched Houston with a guy named Kiki Kuti, run all up and down those guys in terms of the passing game with Deshaun Watson and what Houston did to Tennessee yesterday, I'm certainly not scared of their defense. But yeah, anytime you can avoid the Mack truck in the backfield, the Tennessee, I think that's just best for everyone.
There was another scenario that gave us a flicker of hope yesterday, Nate. The Colts get up big, and wait a second. Jacksonville's only down by six here. I would have welcomed Miami back. And we're rolling the tape here right there. Supposedly, you're supposed to give a quarterback years' time. Nate, you played the position. Can we definitively say right now that Tua Tagovailoa is not going to make it in this league?
I don't think we can definitively say it. I don't think we can definitively say anything. But I do think that it's funny because as someone who covers the Bills and anybody that's a Bills fan will tell you is, you know, Josh didn't look great his rookie season. But then you start to deduce, you start to reduce some of the context of that. And you start to realize that's true, right? Like Josh didn't have a great first year, but there were things on film that suggested there was more there. Not to mention, guys, if you recall the draft process, he was the project. He was the guy that you were going to draft the traits, right? The skills, and you needed to have a good coach to put those skills together to create a finished product. That wasn't the story on Tua. Tua is supposed to be, you know, the pro prospect that's ready to walk in day one without the injury and be your starting quarterback. Like, he was pro ready. He was the kind of guy that was as close to his ceiling as he was pretty much going to be. And that is what should worry a Dolphins fan. Not that Josh Allen was bad his rookie season and there's hope now because of X amount of stats. No. I look at and I watched that game yesterday in entirety, obviously, but I've watched other Tua games. And the one thing that I'll continue to notice is Chan Gailey was fired and then, just kidding, rehired, but not really fired in the first place today, according to a fake Adam Schefter account, which was funny, by the way. But the idea that this is all on Chan Gailey and Chan Gailey's the scapegoat, they don't have good enough weapons, and I don't know if anybody else was watching that game, but every time he tried to throw the ball hard, the ball sailed. Every time he tried to throw the ball long, his receivers were coming back for it, and more importantly, the only throws that he looked like he was doing with relative ease were the screen passes. It looked to me a lot like an Alabama offense, where they're running a lot of those slot screens to wide receivers at the line of scrimmage, just get the ball out of his hands out quick. The problem is they're not playing the Citadel. You know, they're in the NFL, and that offense can work in the SEC, But can it work in the NFL? And I'm not so sure it can. And frankly, guys, it's just the intangibles. There isn't one part of his game where I'm looking at and watching yesterday or watching the last couple weeks and saying, well, this area, if he can get better, like, boom, I can see a real development there. But what area is he going to really improve in? I think he'll be able to improve in his processing. That's fine. I think he can start to understand and know what defenses are throwing at him. He can, you know, maybe discern some different coverages a little bit better. That's all fine, but he's not an anticipatory thrower, and he doesn't have arm strength. So if you don't have either of those things, you're going to really have a tough time cutting it in the NFL. Typically, the guys without the arm strength have an elite level of anticipation. I'm thinking of Drew Brees and why he's been able to live in the league as long as he has. It's not because he leads the league in arm strength. It's because he throws with more anticipation than any quarterback in football, and Tua is not that type of player. So if you don't have the anticipation and you don't have the arm strength, what do you have? And in this league, you got to be able to throw the football. The Bills are proving that. And I just, you know, if I were the Dolphins, I would have to take a really long, hard look at both Justin Fields and Zach Wilson of BYU. And if you do that, what becomes more interesting about this guy isn't whether or not the Dolphins take another quarterback. It's about what happens to Tua if they do.
Yeah, I don't want to spend all of our time talking about Tua, Nate, but since it's fresh in our memory, right? But here's the thing, like, I question whether or not he's the dude. I mean, you know this. You have to be the dude. And there are moments you can tell, like, okay, he's got something or he's going to be the dude. Like, I remember Matt Stafford taking a hit his rookie season against the Browns. And I'm like, you know what? He might never win a Super Bowl, but at least for this team, he's the dude. He stayed in the game. You saw it with Fields, you know, over the weekend for Ohio State. Like, wow, that's a gritty play. That's the dude. When I saw Tua slide to protect himself inside the 10-yard line when the goal line is in reach, I'm like, I don't know if he's the dude. And maybe something happens that makes you, you know, see something differently down the road. But look, would you be surprised if Chan Gailey is eventually ruled out in Miami and he has to go through it again with a brand new offensive coordinator? I mean, it feels like they're going to break their quarterback, or they've already broken their quarterback that they invested so heavily in just a few months ago.
Yeah, and I think that your point about the coach and changing the offensive coordinator, I think it's spot on. Like, don't do that, because there's already so many factors that might lead this guy to fail. Like, don't add on factors that you can control. And you can control the fact that Chan Gailey is still a very good play caller in the NFL. He is not holding Tua back. And I won't use Ryan Fitzpatrick's play as a reason for this. But what I will say is it's less about who's playing better at quarterback. Is it Ryan Fitzpatrick when he comes in the games? Is that why they're playing better, because he's better? Or is it because, you know, whatever other reason it could be? To me, it's not about who's playing better. What really speaks to me and suggests your point that this guy just ain't it, the team has a different feel. The team elevates their play. There's almost like a shine in their eye.
Yeah.
Like, they want to play for Ryan Fitzpatrick when he comes on the field. And that same level of desire, I mean, does it prove it any more than the game yesterday? I mean, they give up 56 points in a game that mattered against a team who was playing for nothing and had their backups in. And for me, in those types of situations, that's where Fitzy thrives. He thrives when he knows the game is on his shoulders and everyone's looking to him. And here's the thing. The team feels confident when Fitzpatrick's in the game, that they can look to him to make a play. Even if it's an interception, he's going to go down swinging. And you just do not get the sense that the guys around Tua believe in and want to play for and put their bodies on the line for what he's doing on the field. And that, to me, speaks way more than any statistic or any level of play on the field. If you say to me, Tua's better than Fitz, that's probably right. But one guy the team plays for, and the other guy just, you know, they just put up a dud against backups for the most part. They made Dean Marlowe look like an all-pro player. So, yeah, man, I agree with you. It's hard not to – you want to strike a balance of, well, who do we talk about? Dude, I talked about Tua Tagovailoa three quarters of my pregame show yesterday, because what are we talking about with the Bills? They've already clinched. They're at 12 wins. I am far more fascinated about what happens to Tua if they do draft a quarterback, because is he going to be the next Josh Rosen? I have a hard time believing that another team won't scoop up very quickly. But do you just release or trade Tua? Like, man, I just think the next three, 4 months for Miami have become so fascinating. And it all started by a decision to go to a relief quarterback in the middle of a game that you were trailing. And from that moment on, the margin for error for Tua became razor thin. And I think we're seeing the results of that.
Hey, Gary, you hear him on the Bills Radio Network, by the way, 9 a.m. this Saturday, Bills 105, the kickoff Saturday afternoon. And when we look at this matchup, and by the way, I'm reading the quote here from Frank Reich, the pressure's not on us. Okay, you can see the angle he's playing here, but there might be something to that, Nate, that the Bills are the favorite and they're not used to this position. How do you think, for a franchise that hasn't won a playoff game in over a generation, right? We could say, how do you think the Bills are going to deal with the pressure coming up Saturday?
You know, it's a good question. I don't think there's a lot of precedent for it, this type of pressure. But I will say that, you know, this is a team that had the Dolphins on their heels. This is a team that, you know, went up against two opponents in Tennessee and Kansas City and did not play their best games, and they were embarrassed. They got beat on a Hail Mary play that could have derailed their season, and instead they used it as a launching pad to play literally the best football in my lifetime that I've ever seen from an offense. 29, 29, and 30 are their margins of victory over their last three games. And I was just listening to Eric Wood on the way in say, and I love this point, this isn't the ACC. Like, to win with that margin of victory is special in the NFL. It's very difficult to do, especially consistently. I like Indianapolis overall. But if you're telling me that you stop the run game, you put the ball in the hands of Phillip Rivers in Orchard Park, 34 degrees, not in a dome, against this defense who's playing is the best football they've played all year, give me that matchup 10 times out of 10. I get where Frank Reich's coming from. But at the same time, pressure is really in the eyes of the beholder. If you say the Bills have pressure, but the Bills don't believe internally that there's pressure. And here's the thing. What would make the Bills feel pressure? You know what I mean? Like, the expectation is, sure, they could be the best team in the AFC. They could be the best team in the league. But what is really the pressure? They're not, you know, they're not coming for their reunion tour. They're not trying to win a second straight Super Bowl. They're not trying to, you know, avoid being kicked out of the league or something. Like, what is the pressure? I don't know. I couldn't really put my finger on it to tell you, like, what is the real pressure for the Bills to win? Is it to win a playoff game for the first time? Sure, but this was a season with so many firsts. I don't know. It just seems like we're playing with house money at this point, no?
Nate, are we Steelers fans on Sunday night?
Oh, we are Steelers fans. I am buying a terrible towel. I'm going to start calling people yinzers. I'm going to go to Pimento Brothers. I'm going to go get myself a nice sub with some French fries on it. Like, I'm going all in on Sunday for Pittsburgh, because holy cow, guys, the Bills beat Indianapolis and Pittsburgh wins, and you get Indianapolis and Pittsburgh, you easily, like, that is the sign me up. What is your ideal playoff situation? How do the Bills get to the Super Bowl? That's it. Like, that's your route right there. I couldn't be any less threatened by the Pittsburgh Steelers unless they were the Miami Dolphins. Like, those two teams, if you could have figured out a way to play Miami than Pittsburgh, oh man, I would have said, just like somebody fill in for me for these first 2 weeks. I'll see you guys in the AFC Championship game on the radio.
Yeah, it's funny that you brought up that. And by the way, the Tua conversation is fascinating, and how you focused on that more than the Bills, because what are the issues with the Bills right now? They're winning. They're blowing out teams. I'm going to give you one issue. Cole Beasley. If Cole Beasley isn't ready, or what are you hearing? And yes, McKenzie, in a short pinch, he did great yesterday. But if the Bills were without Cole Beasley long-term, what would that mean?
You know, I think it's a good question, and I'm not totally sure. I do think that they have a level of confidence at the wide receiver position in years past they haven't had, depth. And I think Isaiah McKenzie definitely gave you a feeling of relief watching him operate in that game yesterday, because he really was the best player on the field. And Stephon Diggs and John Brown were on the field. It's not like they had just Gabe Davis and, you know, another practice squad on the field. He was electric. And he's done well when he's had the ball in his hands. When they manufacture four or five plays a game, he makes the best and most out of those four or five plays a game. So am I worried? Is he Cole Beasley? Hell no, he's not Cole Beasley. But I'll say this, is this passing offense can hit at every single level with, I think, efficiency, with explosiveness. And If that means that you need to focus on the intermediate and deep levels of the field, well, they've got Diggs for their intermediate, and they got John Brown back for the deep spot. And let me tell you, Gabriel Davis is turning into one of the most efficient deep ball weapons in the league, not just here in Buffalo, in the league. So for me, I like the second and third levels of the intermediate and deep levels. If the Bills need to go to a passing offense that features that, the Colts don't have the dogs in their defensive backfield to stop that. So I think for me, the most important thing next week is not letting DeForest Buckner ruin your game plan. We know that this offense, when they have struggled, defensive linemen have tended to be the reason. And that, I think of Joey Bosa, I think of Aaron Donald, but they still scored 30-plus against Aaron Donald. So if the offensive line can hold up, I'm less worried about, you know, is Cole Beasley 100%? Is he playing? Is he not playing? And I'm more worried about, can this offensive line hold up, give Josh enough time to find his weapons? Because he's proven all year, you take one guy away, he's just going to go to the next. So if you think about this, that Chargers game, Chris Harris Jr. shut Cole Beasley down. I think Cole Beasley had two catches in that game. What's the difference of having Cole Beasley get shut down by an elite slot corner and having to go to your other weapons than him not being able to play? There's no difference for that for me. So for me, this offense has proven that if you take away what they do well, they'll find something else because they have the weapon in-house.
It's so funny, Nate. I mean, we can go back as recently as earlier this season, and we'd have concerns about the Bills' defense and their inability to stop the run in certain stretches of the season. And now it's almost as if it doesn't even matter because we just know that when that offense is on the field, even if they make a mistake, you've got a quarterback with a short memory, and they're just going to put up points. And ultimately, score as much as you want, we'll score more.
Right, and I think that's the fun thing about this whole thing, right, is it's less about, well, here's the even more fun thing about it, is it was fine to say, well, it's fine, who cares, you don't need a defense if you're going to score this many points, but that was because your defense wasn't playing well. Now it's like you're pairing the second-best scoring team in the league with, I think, a top-10 defense. I think they're playing at that level. Here's the other thing that we have not even talked about, guys. Is their special teams, I haven't checked their DVOA rankings. I would believe they're in the top three. They've been that good at changing the field position, covering punts and kicks. Tyler Bass, the last three quarters of this season, has been the best young kicker in the league. And Corey Bohorquez is the best young punter in the league. So you add in the fact that your defense was playing bottom-of-the-league defense earlier in the season and your offense was bailing them out. To not only has your offense playing better now than it was earlier in the season when they were scoring 30-plus, now your defense is playing well, and you have one of the most efficient and best special teams units in the league. Now we're starting to talk about the 90s, not because of it was the heydays, but that's the model that the 90s Bills got to those Super Bowls. They had Tasker on special teams. They had Kelly, Thurman, and Reed on offense. They had all the Bruce Smith and the linebackers and the secondary on defense. All of a sudden you're thinking, they got a very similar template to all those years, the dynasty that they had in the late and early 90s, or late 80s, early 90s. And I think that's what excites me the most, is they're more of a complete team now than they were at any point this season. And I think you can look at the playoffs and say the Bills are the most complete and deepest team in the playoffs. And I think that's a real testament to Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott.
Nate Geary from the Buffalo Bills Radio Network, Saturday, 9 a.m. The pregame coverage will begin here on ESPN Rochester. And Nate, about that Saturday draw, there are some Bills fans, I was reading last night on social media, they're not happy that the Bills got the perceived worst of the six positions. What would you say about that, that the Bills got stuck with the 1 o'clock Saturday kickoff?
I'm into it. I mean, for me anyways, because we get to do this on Saturday and then I get to throw my feet up and get a nice Sunday football in me and watch three games on my couch. And I'm looking forward to that. But that's me being selfish. I think, in terms of, does it hurt the Bills? Does it put them at a disadvantage? Is it unfair? No. It would be one thing if, the Bills played on Monday night and then were asked to play on Saturday and, Indianapolis is coming off a Thursday night game where they've got 12 days of rest and the Bills have six. That's not the case. Both teams have the same layover. They're getting that game out of the way early. So you can play your game. You don't have to worry about waiting around, watching other games. Get your game out of the way. I love it. I like, if I were to pick a game for the wild card round, I didn't want either of those primetime games. I wanted a 1 p.m. And if you asked me Saturday or Sunday, I would have taken Saturday. I think people are overlooking it, overlooking at it a little too much. And I think for me, there's no disadvantage. Go out, play your game, and get the extra day rest for the second round.
Saturday, 9 a.m., our pregame coverage on ESPN Rochester. You'll be able to hear Nate Geary and the Klan leading you up to the game at 1 o'clock. Bills, Colts, wild card weekend, and you'll be able to hear that action on ESPN Rochester. Nate, always good with your time. Appreciate it. As always, buddy, talk to you soon.
My pleasure, guys. Happy New Year to you, and go Bills.
Thank you, Nate. Nate Geary, one of our favorites here in the sports bar. Danger, I want to, the idea about pressure, and you're going to hear this a lot about how Frank Reich's quotes, hey, the pressure isn't on us, we have no pressure. Okay, I will connect this to the Bills, and you will make fun of me when I tell you this. Over the break, what did I binge? I binged Baseball Seasons. Baseball Seasons, Mike Danger, that's where they go, you know, year by year on the MLB Network. I taped them all, sat down, watched them all.
I'm watching
1977. And the Yankees are facing this upstart team called the Dodgers. And somebody asked Tommy Lasorda back in 1997, hey, you're facing the Yankees. This team's a powerhouse. They're ready to win the World Series. What do you say about, you know, all this pressure on you guys? They're like, no. Now, pressure doesn't come from the outside. Pressure comes from the inside. And the reason why it comes from the inside, it's because of fear of failure. I looked up that quote, and that is probably the most quoted of Tommy Lasorda's many quotes in his fine career. For this Buffalo Bills team right now, are they feeling any pressure from the inside? Absolutely not. 1990, they weren't feeling any pressure. The pressure came after, like, oh, here we go again, from the inside. When you hear this stuff about the Frank Reich, the pressure's not, there's no such thing as pressure on the Buffalo Bills. They are rolling. They'll be fine.
We get to NFL appetizers next. Black Monday, plenty of news and notes from around the league to get to. NFL appetizers today brought to you by Market Fuel Liquor. Need a winter warm-up? See Market Fuel Liquor for the best selection, price, and advice. Go to marketfuelliquor.com and order online for same-day curbside pickup. Use the Drizzly app for same-day delivery. Jefferson Road, Henrietta, and marketfuelliquor.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.